At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
The reality we live in can be a very strange place. Most of the time, fact being stranger than fiction. How will we ever start to understand this reality we live in unless we question everything? Join me and a guest as we unravel the mysteries of this reality, one topic at a time. This is Icarus Boreali with Shane Jones.
What is up, inquirers, and welcome to the expanse of deep open-minded conversation. I'm the one they call Shane. And today for you guys, I have a really fun conversation with the founder of Orgonite, and he creates a lot of these really fascinating crystals that have a lot of positive energy impacts on them. But in this episode, we dive a lot into the spirituality aspect of things, and we also dive into some philosophy on things. And of course, you know, with the usual thing with the show we usually dive into, we of course have to hit some extraterrestrials and some weird phenomenon and conspiracies all in the mix. But it was a great episode, and I think you guys are going to have a lot of fun listening to it. But before we get into the conversation, of course, got to run through the front of house stuff. So guys, don't forget to go and follow Inquiries of Our Reality and Open Minds Media on Instagram and Facebook if you aren't already. And I highly recommend that you do if you want to keep tabs on anything new and interesting going on with the show, promotional discounts, all that fun stuff, or anything cool that I feel like posting, which of course, you know, is usually fish tanks, cryptid stuff, UFO stuff, all that fun stuff. Anyways, just go follow the pages, of course. And for video content, don't forget to follow Open Minds Media on YouTube and TikTok. And if anybody wants to join the discussion, you guys can become members of the Open Minds Media Discord. A lot of fun, interesting conversations popping off over there at all times, and I'm always trying to build that community. So anybody that wants to pop in and become a part of that community, I absolutely appreciate it, and I appreciate all of you guys. And if anybody has an encounter to report, no matter how big, no matter how small, I definitely want to hear about it. And I definitely want to be able to possibly do some episodes, even if they're short form, with people that are listeners just coming on, talking about their experiences. If you don't want to get into all the nitty gritty deep part of the conversation, you guys can just come on and report your encounters, stuff like that. But the only way that'll happen is if you guys report your encounters. And even if you just want somebody to talk to about it simply, and you don't want it to be put on the internet anywhere whatsoever, or if you want somebody to investigate something, keep everything private, totally cool with me. So shoot me those encounters to OMMEncounterReports@outlook.com, or you guys can go to the link tree, and there is a specific submission form for that. And if you guys aren't already checking out my other show, Bizarre Encounters, don't forget to go and check that out. It's my really fun show I do with my co-host over there, Oren, where we deep dive into a variety of different open-minded, 40 and bizarre topics, of course. Most of it's our deep dives, but there are some interviews within the mix, but totally different format from this show, but still kind of covering the same topic. So if you guys enjoy this show, definitely think you guys will enjoy Bizarre Encounters. And we also do a side show called Bizarre Inquiries, where we let our minds wander on your guys' questions. So if you guys want to submit some questions for that, I would greatly, greatly appreciate it. After wrapping up our March Madness thing, we're going to be diving back into the normal format of that. So once a month, the episodes will drop onto YouTube and onto the normal feed. But the rest of the month, that is a Patreon exclusive show. So you guys get one out of every four, I guess. So one way of looking at it. But if you guys report, if you guys submit the question, I will make sure that you have access to that episode no matter what. And if you guys want to support the show, you guys can do so through number one being the Patreon. That's the one I'm trying to grow the most that I can this year, of course, add some new benefits and stuff. I definitely want to hear your guys' opinions on stuff and how I can make the Patreon better. So again, always open for suggestions over there. But if you guys want to see what it's all about, there is a $3 and a $5 tier that have 7-day free trials. So you guys can pop over there, see what it's all about, and go from there and decide if you guys want to become a regular Patreon member. And then you guys can also go and check out the Open Minds Media merch store. Over there, you'll find stuff for this show, for Bizarre Encounters, and a bunch of my other cryptid, UFO, alien, mushroom, whatever designs. I do other designs over there. Definitely worth going and checking out. And if you guys decide that you want to scoop one, I am running a promotion right now. If you use code CRYPTID10, you will receive 10% off your order. I wish I could do it a lot bigger, but unfortunately, I use Teespring instead of me actually printing and producing these shirts myself. So that's about as much of a discount as I can really put on them. When I use that discount, I make roughly about like $3 per shirt, so I can't really discount them too much more than that, as much as I would absolutely love to be able to do that for you guys. Maybe if I get to a point where I'm actually self-producing all of my shirts, then I can discount them a little bit more. But when I do get boxes, you know, I mean, I definitely have some of those here and there after shows and stuff. So if that's something you might be interested in, shoot me a message and I'll let you know what shirts I do have in stock personally that I might be able to discount a little bit cheaper. And if you're interested in podcast production services, you guys can shoot me a message through Open Minds Media. Over there, I can make logos for you. I can edit episodes. I can help you book guests. Whatever you might need for your podcast, whether you have one or you want to start one up, shoot me a message and we can definitely figure something out to get you rolling. Or again, if you're already a podcaster, make your life a little bit easier. And of course, we got to give a shout out to all of the sponsors for the show, of course. All of the wonderful people that I've crossed in the community, of course. I know Squatch. Don't forget to go and check them out. Rick and Hans are the absolute best for all of your Squatchy gear needs. And you guys can always go check out Joe over there at Cryptoteology for all of your wearable cryptid favorites. And you guys can also go check out Snarly Yow for some fantastic beard and body products that have a smoky cedar smell with a hint of mint. Absolutely fantastic. I use the beard balm and beard oil every single day, and I absolutely love them. And then Dave also puts on a lot of fantastic events over by the West Virginia area. So if you're somewhat in the West Virginia area, definitely worth going and checking him out on social media and seeing if there's any events happening near you. And Dave is one of the most kind people in the community, so he gravitates a lot of fantastic people towards him. So any event that he's putting on is going to be an awesome event. And he tries to make him geared towards kids, adults, all of that. So if you guys have kids, you don't have to worry about bringing them around because they'll definitely have fun there too, of course. And Dimension Devices. For anybody that wants to go and check out the Chattergeist, it is the all-in-one paranormal investigating device. I use it every single time I go out. It is my absolute favorite. And I know there's a lot of cool new updates coming for that, so you guys can definitely keep tune over there and see what he might be dropping soon. But Barry over there in Dimension Devices, he is the one that programmed and developed it. So if you guys have any technical questions, you guys can hit him up and he'll be able to answer any questions that you guys might have. And if you guys decide that you guys want to pick one up for yourself, don't forget to use the affiliate link that's down in the show description. Goes back towards helping the show, and I greatly appreciate you guys for using that. And every single thing that I mentioned is all available in the link tree, which is available down in the show description. And with that, let's get into the show. Please welcome to the show Isaac Lazell from Oregonite. How's it going today, man?
Doing great. How are you today, Shane?
Not too bad, man. Hanging in there. Had a nice day with the family and stuff and just kind of hung out around the house, so can't complain too much. How about yourself, man?
Oh, that's great. Been a bit of a rough day. We've had some not great family news, but we're pushing through it, and we're going to have a great chat tonight. So I'm excited to share about my business, Organite, and everything that I do.
Hey, man, sometimes it takes like a podcast to kind of help get your mind off of stuff, because I know there's been a few times where I've had guests on that didn't have the best day or I didn't have the best day. And, you know, just having like one of these just open conversations where you can just kind of let stuff go and, you know, you don't feel like there's any necessarily like an agenda or anything behind it. It just kind of helps get your mind off of like normal stuff that has to do with life and just kind of helps you focus in on the show. So hopefully it'll kind of do that for you today, man. And hopefully it'll kind of swing your day at least into a better area, at least for the end of the day before you go to sleep, to try to, you know, leave your mind at rest a bit for the night.
Oh, for sure. I can't wait to do this. I absolutely love having conversations, and I'm pretty sure we're going to have some pretty great ones today. So I can't wait for the listeners to hear and for us to see where we go.
So I guess before we get into the meat of the conversation, of course, for anybody that may not be familiar with who you are, what you do, what your work is exactly, I want you to let them know a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your work.
Yeah, my name is Isaac Lazell, and I have a business called Organite. Organite traditionally is a mixture of resin and metal and crystals. And I specifically usually make my pyramids, or I usually make pyramids out of Organite, and I always pack them full of copper and steel, and there's always a large clear quartz at the very top of it. And this energy mixture, it creates an electromagnetic, it pulls the energy from everything around you. And there's something known as DOR, which is called deadly orgone radiation, that the man who invented or discovered orgone energy, named Wilhelm Reich, said existed in absolutely everything. So there's theoretically this negative energy that exists in all of the universe, and also there's this positive POR, positive orgone energy as well. So the goal of Organite is to take this DOR, or negative energy, and to pull it in and to transmute it and turn it into the positive energy. So it's technically a positive energy battery that's constantly circulating what's known as DOR, just negativity basically, and turning it into positive energy.
So a good way to kind of just explain what it does exactly, when you're talking about like energy, are you talking more so about like healing property type energy, or are you talking about like mood elevating energy? Like what's kind of like the energy type that it's supposed to be able to turn into positive energy?
So a lot of scientists like to throw around the word scalar energy when they talk about Organite, because the energy is a little bit mysterious. It's not mainstream. A lot of people like to call it chi or prana or ether or life force. It can definitely help somebody raise their mood. It can definitely help the energies of like healing in such a sense. I will say I'm not a doctor. My products do not heal people. I can't say that. But I will say that they go deep into the energies of who you are, and they go deep into the energies of your traumas and experiences, and they help pull those out, and they help you heal yourself from those types of things, which oftentimes the emotional issues turn into physical diseases after a certain point. So in a way, you really are getting to those emotional issues, pulling those out and removing them, which in a sense, it should take the physical issues away as well.
So just out of curiosity, using like the copper, is it's kind of the same energy displacement that you see when people take like the copper piping and like put it down into their gardens and stuff, and it's supposed to help their plants kind of stretch and grow? Is it kind of using the same energy, or is that like a totally different thing?
It's very similar, actually. I actually have a invention of mine I call the Copper Roots Pyramid. You can order this at organite.com, organite.com. And it's a combination of those copper wires you're talking about, which that process is called electroculture. And you traditionally will stick copper wires into the ground. You place them up in the air on a spiral pattern, and it creates an electrical ground for your soil. And if you place one of these copper rods next to, let's say, a tomato plant, I've had a guy that I work with called Graham Towerton from Food Forest Abundance. They have a great organization. And he says that he gets like 3 or 4 times better, bigger, larger plants with the electroculture rods in them. And I thought that was super interesting, because it's like, you don't hear about that normally in the mainstream, but like there are people all around the world who are using this, just these copper wires, and putting them in the ground, and it does great work and effect for everything around it. So Orgonite uses a very similar, they're basically grounding using an ether ground for the electroculture rods, and you use a different form of grounding for this copper with the Orgonite right here. It is a more of a, you can almost call it like a higher frequency ground with the clear quartz and the way it manipulates the energies around the environment. But it's very similar, and it can do even more. And with a combination of the copper experiment I have, it kind of uses both of those.
And I'm kind of assuming too that the matter of like the copper is what's supposed to actually like take in the energy, and then when you get into what's the material you said you use in the top quartz? The quartz is almost like the battery that's supposed to like retain the energy itself. Because I've kind of dug into some of the stuff with like Kentucky and all the high strangeness, and it kind of all comes back to like the quartz deposits being some type of like bank for energy. So I'm assuming that's kind of how this thing works, is that it takes in from the copper and then it harnesses into the quartz. And then from there, you assumably like leave it on a desktop or somewhere near you or in an area of your house where you have like more negative energy, or even that maybe even more next to where you sleep or something at night. And then it's supposed to kind of recycle back into your body, considering that, you know, most people kind of associate the body with being made out of water, but all of your nerves, the way they function back and forth is through electricity. So it's like your body is just as much electricity and reactions as it is the water aspect. So you kind of need both. And when you get into like the woo-woo and stuff, like it kind of, for lack of a better term, woo-woo, it kind of like makes sense to people who are already kind of down that train. But to the people who are following like big pharma type concepts and how things work, they're kind of almost like looking past like the simpler aspects of how the body functions realistically.
Well, the really cool thing you said there is that, so the body is made of bioplasma, which is electrified water. So it's literally both. We are electrical beings that are composed of hydrogen, which comes in the form of water. And it's really amazing to see how we are made of this frequency soup of electricity and water and matter that is just all around us. And we don't realize that everything's connected and everything is in harmony with each other. And we, like something like Orgonite, it incorporates these natural energies, which can literally connect to the physical aura or the electrical field of the body or of the plants or of whatever you're trying to work with. I tell people it can really help your plants. It does help your plants, but it helps your pets as well. It can help animals. I put an Orgonite puck in my chicken coop. We have a chicken coop and raise eggs. So I put a little piece of Orgonite in there, and it's supposed to help the chickens grow eggs faster and help them be healthier. And you just try and create a thriving energetic environment around you. So that's really the purpose of Orgonite, is trying to create energetic harmony in your environment.
I mean, assumably you have, considering that you're as passionate about it as you are, but just out of curiosity, like in your own life before you actually started using this, and I'd love to kind of dive back into your spiritual journey after we kind of get past this part of the conversation, of course, but like how much of a difference have you noticed at least kind of using this stuff, at least in your own life?
Things have been crazy, absolutely crazy, and it's been more on the, like, I'll have... So Reich, Wilhelm Reich, who's the, I'll tie it all back to this, but I'll give a little bit of backstory. So he had this idea of armor inside of a person, which this armor is very similar to what you think of as an energy blockage inside of a person from a trauma or something like that. And once you release this armor, if you release this DOR inside of you, you can have crazy energetic bursts of like it's like freeing energy from inside of yourself and bringing it back into flow. And I've had multiple times where, like, the first Orgonite pyramid that I ever made, it was a piece that I rush made because my parents were selling their, or my family left their house for a time being. I was working on the property, on an adjacent property, and I had an Orgonite pyramid I wanted to make. There was a lot of trauma going on at home, dealing with a divorce, a bunch of stuff. They were about to sell the property in the house. I made a pyramid. I put it inside of the bedroom of my mom's house, a lot of trauma. Okay. And I said, okay, all energies are allowed to leave. Yeah. I want to, call in, like, I want to call in peace, and I want to, all negative spirits, all negative energies are not allowed to be here anymore. I felt an electrical rush from the bottom of my, you could call it my root chakra, but like from my, like my base all the way up to my head, I felt like a rush of energy shoot up, up my spine. And I felt the room entirely lift, and it was crazy. And I have had a lot of personal synchronistic experiences surrounding Orgonite. There's a lot of things that I will do that I'll make a piece, or I'll incorporate a certain piece into, like, I'll put a piece under my bed for the night. And like, I've had amazing sleeps. I've had good dreams. I actually normally don't dream on a normal basis, but when I do dream, it's not usually the best. But I've put pieces of Orgonite under my bed, and like my wife and child, we all sleep in the same room, and my wife and baby will, we had such better sleeps afterwards. It was like, I have probably 5 or 6 pyramids underneath our bed now at this point, because it's just every time I add it or I incorporate different types of pyramids and devices, I can feel it in my own energy when I'm laying down and sleeping. It's like, normally I'm very insensitive when it comes to energy. I have a lot of customers say that they can feel the vibe or the energy of the piece as soon as they open the box, which I think is super cool, but I've never felt something from my pyramid. It's like, I'm very energy insensitive. It's always been something I've kind of envied in people, but I'll literally have these subtle feelings of like peace, and I'll have like the, or these certain different ways I make the pyramid. If I do different colors, or if I put different crystals inside of the pyramid, I can tweak it and I can make it. This is, let's say this is for inspiration, or this is for restoring feelings of love, or this is for sexual trauma, or anything. I can target any specific type of emotional experience. And when you take the intention and thought behind the creation, and when you really put the energy, when you receive it, let's say you receive this pyramid. If you just put it in your house, you don't think about it, it's doing good stuff for the energy and the environment. But if you take the next step and say, hey, I understand the intentions behind this piece, I understand what it's doing to me, I understand the personal work that I have to go through on an infinite level. You always have to go through spiritual personal work in your life. Everybody's always going through traumas they have to deal with. But this piece of Orgonite I try to give people is like, hey, let's remember to always be turning those negative energies into positive energies. You can always do it with anything in your life. There's a bunch of shitty things that people go through. And I think that if you always look at something, or if you always, you don't need a piece of Orgonite to do this, but you can just look within yourself and say, what are the things I'm struggling with? What are the things that I'm going through? What are the root causes of that? What are the traumas I experience that are causing me to do these things? And if you turn that around and you say, I'm not going to let that control me anymore, I'm going to learn from it and grow from it, that's the real goal of life. That's the real goal of life, is to learn from your experiences and to love and forgive others. So that's what I try and teach people with this Orgonite journey.
Ain't that the truth, man? That's a good message behind it regardless. And just out of curiosity too, I know for like a lot of like the crystals and stuff, and different types of stones and all of that, there's usually with a lot of it, like a certain point where you kind of have to like recycle it. Like there'll be like a crack that'll happen, then after you're supposed to get rid of it, a lot of the ones that take in negative energy, they'll completely split, and then you destroy them or you bury them after that. Usually it's barium. But as far as these things go, is there like a recycle point, or is it just one of those things that since it's always taking in and putting out, that it doesn't really get to a point where it needs to get like replaced or cleansed, I guess, is another way you could looking at it, where it's not destroyed, but you have to like re-cleanse it.
You can always charge Orgonite. I recommend people go out and charge their pieces under the full moons. I recommend people charge it in sunlight, or you can use a bunch of different things, even just your energy and intention. You can cleanse a piece of anything and charge it. But I say the original Orgone pieces and devices that were made used to be purely just epoxy and metal. There used to be no quartz inside of it. So what it would do is it would collect and pull all of this negative energy from the surrounding environment, but it would just basically trap it inside of it. And so it would condense and pull, and that's kind of what the clear quartz do when you don't have the whole energetic system of the Orgonite, and when you have other crystals that collect energy and they're not able to properly work the way they're supposed to anymore. You put them in the soil and you give it a ground, and it now is able to cleanse that energy, and eventually in 50 or 100 years when somebody else finds it, it's fresh and new for them again. And this Orgonite, like this piece right here, this is a Nubian pyramid, or this is actually a Russian pyramid. I just learned today that they're two different things. This is a Russian pyramid that is, I broke the top off of it. And obviously I can't sell this now, but there's a clear quartz right inside of it right here. So this clear quartz is turning this into a full piece of organite still. I had to throw away the tip of it because there was just metal and there was epoxy, so it wasn't actually real organite, but this is still functional. So I'm just going to put this out in my garden. I'm going to have it be harmonious for the environment of the plants. I've actually had a lot of plants grow much faster with organite next to them in the last month or so with the springtime coming up than other plants that didn't have organite. It's been really cool because we've been in a big winter season. It's been really cold around here and everywhere. But coming out of it, it's been like I've been seeing a lot of plants blossoming, and there's definitely been a lot of increase in the organite-specific plants.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
And we are back, so let's hop right in.
Just, I want to dive a little bit into your background a little bit too, because of course, when people get to a point where they start doing stuff like this, usually they've been through some type of spiritual journey. And I usually absolutely love hearing about people's spiritual journeys and all of the different things they've gone through to get them to the point that they're currently at, being, you know, proud of their spirituality and who they are and not trying to hide it or act like it's something that, you know, shouldn't be out in the open. So, kind of diving into your background, like what got you kind of going down this spiritual path and what exactly got you to the point where you wanted to start creating these pyramids?
I grew up in a very deeply religious family. I went to a non-denominational church. We learned to speak in tongues. I essentially learned how to remote view through the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus when I was like 10 years old. And we went through a lot of prayer healing experiences, and I learned a lot through that. And when I was about 12, there was this lady who had a video documentary that my church made. All of the people watching, my grandparents were the pastors of both of their own churches, so obviously I was there. And the lady started talking about like the satanic movements and the Illuminati and all of this crazy horrible stuff, and my mind was blown, and I was like, oh no, there is a dark evil group of people that are trying to destroy everything and bring about the horrors of Revelation and the Mark of the Beast and 666. And then COVID happened, and I became a hardcore info warrior, and I was just super into the anti-vaccine stuff and realizing all the horror, like how bad the government really is and everything. But I had a really negative view of reality. I had this traditional mainstream Christian viewpoint, but it didn't help me feel better about the way that the world was going into, and the fact that the way I previously believed, I thought that like 70% of people were going to burn eternally, and like it was going to be a horrible situation for most souls. And like, I didn't resonate with that. I didn't feel good with that ideology. And especially with all the stuff I learned, it was just getting worse. And eventually I came across the likes of like Sam Tripoli, who talked a lot about spirituality is very important with conspiracy. And I didn't understand the connection between that, because I didn't understand anything more about spirituality besides like the mainstream Christian viewpoint. So I started diving really deep into spirit sciences, and I started diving deep into alternative healing. My daughter went through a really really bad experience where she had like a it was a birthmark. There was blood vessels that were sticking on the outside, and it ruptured and burst. And she was had really horrible, like a gigantic gouge that was open for like 3 months. That was just absolutely horrible. And so I started going really deep into alternative healing sources, and I learned about a podcast called the Interverse Podcast with a guy named Chance Garten, who taught me a lot about a technique called biofield tuning, which gives you the idea that your body manifests physical diseases due to improper states in the emotional health of your being. So everything that's physical is as above, so below, tied to the emotional state, the psyche or the astral plane, whatever you want to call it. And learning that when you have these physical issues that are happening, I have physically, obviously everybody's got physical issues, but all this stuff is connected to different traumas and stuff you've experienced in your life. And then I start learning about advanced free energy systems, and pyramids start getting brought up a lot. And I learn that in the side of a pyramidal structure, it's called a syntropic state of flow, which means that that entropy ceases to exist. So it's a positive state of life flow just due to the shape of the pyramid alone. And then I learn about a podcast called Bledsoe Said So. And there's a guy who's named Chris Bledsoe, who has these, he calls them angels and beings of light and orbs that he's taken videos of for the last 10 years. And he's got thousands of videos on his Instagram page. And the beings have had a lot of really amazing messages for Chris and saying that we're coming into a new area of awakening in the next 5 or 6 years. And that there's a new knowledge that is coming out, and a bunch of other things. But there were a bunch of secret spy program people, CIA people that started coming to his house and property. And somebody from the secret spy CIA program started talking to the Bledsoes, and like, they're like, "Hey, have you ever heard of this orgone energy thing?" And started teaching them about orgonite and orgone energy. And I had no idea about it. So I started, I looked at my biofield tuning hypothesis. I looked at my pyramid ideas, and I started diving super deep into the orgonite theory in Wilhelm Reich, who discovered the modern interpretation, at least, of how these energies are always consisting in our body, and how we can pull them out, and how we can help people from an infant stage not go through these traumatic experiences. So we can just teach people to be loving and open and positive members of society from birth. And so I combined all of this, and I'm like, okay, I love this mission. I also agree that we should try and heal the hearts of everybody. I think we should try and help children not go through deep levels of trauma before they have to go into adulthood, which makes them really not good people. Like, there's a lot of assholes nowadays because there's a lot of people who went through a lot of shit. So I think that the message and the idea of, like, let's turn all this hatred that's existing in our world to love, which that's all that Wilhelm Reich was talking about. That's a lot of what most people were talking about. That's what Christ was talking about. But Wilhelm Reich was killed, and he was thrown in jail, and all of his books were burned. And Christ was also killed, put on a cross. And a lot of people who teach love are not loved by people. So,
no, they usually don't get appreciated until years later when people actually start looking into the work that they were trying to do. And usually when something gets repressed like that, that's when you know that it might actually be leading on to something. And whether it's something that, you know, Big Pharma doesn't want around because they want everybody to just keep taking their prescriptions, taking their medicine, just keep on flowing the continuous source of money. It kind of makes you wonder just like which side it could be on, that it's like alien technology, if it's something that like people discovered a long time ago that's being suppressed, but there's definitely something to it. And I mean, this kind of goes into the same field as far as like the frequency and like vibrational healing, kind of like what you were saying too. And it seems like when you start diving into a lot of the extraterrestrial type stuff, kind of like what you were mentioning with Bledsoe, and I guess depending on who you ask, some people see him as angelic beings, some people see him as extraterrestrials, some see him as like demons that were masculine, masquerading themselves as other things. But you know, it's all different viewpoints on it. But either way, it seems like it's something that's coming from somewhere else, that's a suppressed knowledge, because there's a lot to it. And I feel like we're kind of at the precipice for discovering all of this. And like you were saying, that we're kind of moving into like a new era of like enlightenment. I guess that could be a new era of actually understanding how a lot of this hidden technology, I guess you could say, works. Because realistically, too, we start running down that same path of like vibrational healing, chakra healing, all of that, too. It kind of goes into the whole idea about like, you know, possibly how they built the original pyramids, how, you know, Coral Castle was built, where you can use vibration to start actually manipulating reality itself and go past the healing thing to actually be able to construct your own reality in an easier way, too.
Oh, 100%. All of these advanced ancient technologies were used for a lot more than just healing. They were used for a lot more than cultivating their fields and their crops. They were used to build structures. They were used to help elevate consciousness. They were used to activate certain things within the body that we currently don't even realize is possible. All this energy structure is something that us as a population, as the masses, we aren't aware that there's an interconnected energy of all living things. And even there's interconnected energy inside of the rock that you're trying to move to build the pyramid. And you can utilize that interconnected energy in maybe the quartz that is piezoelectric, that you can utilize frequencies and different vibrations to turn that thing into essentially a weightless stone that you can essentially lift up and you can carry over to the pyramid due to specific vibrations and frequencies. There are millions of things. Your body, as we were talking about, is made of electrified water, and that electrified water can resonate at specific frequencies, and you can utilize specific frequencies to activate healing inside of the body. And you can do that for an infinite amount of things. And there are millions of different technologies that have been suppressed, and they've been shut down, and people will maybe be given grants and then they get taken away, or people just get absolutely squashed, or their ideas get stolen. Like, there's this guy named Marco Rodin. He has a technology called the Rodin coil and has this vortex mathematics hypothesis. And he has this specific, you call it a numerological theory of the multiplication table. So, like, let's say you take the multiplication table and say, like, 9 times 9 equals 81. So the numerological value of 81 equals 9. And then you convert all of those numbers numerologically on the multiplication table to where they're supposed to be. And it creates this code. And at all of the 3s and all of the 6s and all of the 9s, the code is 369, 369, 369, 369, going up and down and sideways.
Going into the Tesla theory, right? About if you only understood 3, 6, and 9.
Exactly. And if you incorporate this number into a coil, it creates what's known as the Rodin coil. And there are 12 wires that are all wrapped in this specific coil that is the, if you take the mathematical proportions of that 369 and put it onto a coil, this is what you get. And every third wire of this coil, specifically due to the wrap of it, is electrically electricity activated in the coil itself. So this coil is literally a free energy portal through the center of it. And there are massive amounts of frequency healing you can do with this. You can hit it with the right frequency. So these are wires that are attached to an auxiliary output. You can hook into a frequency generator, and you can have electrified frequencies that are coming through this. With the right frequency, you can generate and amplify electricity. With the right frequency, you can create essentially a zero gravity field in the center of this, where I've seen videos of like a copper, or not a copper, but like a steel ball floating around the center of this field. So if you were to take this technology and amplify it, you could create what looks like our UFO disc shapes and stuff like that in like zero gravity propulsion. And a bunch of stuff. It's like you can do infinite amount of things with it. Like, you have the technology, and then after that, it's a playground to do whatever you want with. So you can use that technology theoretically with the wrong frequencies for negative things. You can use this type of technology to create laser beam weapons that annihilate Maui, or you can do a bunch of things with it. But this specific technology has infinite potential to heal people. It has a lot of potential to help. This technology has the same scalar fields of organite, just utilized a different way. And you can have a lot. You can have, basically, if you had an underground greenhouse that had zero light, you could use the scalar field energies to provide the energy for the crops itself. Like that. That's the type of energy that it's the life force energy that everything's built upon.
Dude, I got so many different avenues I want to kind of dive down with you now that we're starting to really get into this like off the wall type stuff. I definitely want to go into pyramids, but first, now that you brought up that and talking about how it creates like almost like a zero gravity flying saucer, I was throwing this idea on a recent show about how potentially how like UFOs could work. And if you're looking at it from the aspect of these things not necessarily being something that's like interplanetary, but rather something that's actually coming from the planet itself, you could use almost like that technology, like you were explaining, to kind of fit my theory that I was saying, that essentially, like, say that the Earth is, you know, positive energy, so to speak, and you create something that uses the positive energy of the Earth to be able to bounce away from it to create like a zero gravity effect. So if you create like some type of like saucer that maybe projects the negative energy up and the positive energy down, and the Earth itself is positive, then you can almost essentially create the zero gravity flying disc. And then depending on how much you charge up that battery, if you have it like set really, really high, it's going to go fly higher. If you have it set low, it's going to set lower. And essentially that could be how UFOs actually function, is that they're not from another planet. They're from Earth, and they're actually using Earth's magnetic fields in order to basically hover on top of, by projecting the same positive or negative. I'm assuming the Earth itself is positive energy, but positive energy back at it. So that it ends up creating this floating basically creates zero gravity floating using the world's the Earth's magnetic fields.
I totally agree with that theory. I've always said that you have two types of what people call UFOs. You have the realm of the angelic and the demonic, which those are both present things that you can see in this reality. People see what people call demons or negative entities, and people see angels all the time in anecdotal evidence. And there's a wide array of how people see them, different cultures all around the world. That's definitely real. And then you have that other, you have the flying metal crafts in the sky that the government is so desperately trying to make you think is coming from a different planet right now. They used to say UFOs were completely made up and everybody who thought about it was crazy. But now they're trying to make every single person and their mother believe that there are other aliens out in the sky and outer space trying to come and kill us. It's like, that's the constant message that they're trying to send people. It's trying to say, fear these things, fear this craft. And what they're trying to really do is say, fear the good that could possibly be behind the veil, like the real spiritual good, positive, and stay away from that spiritual negative. But also fear us, we're the mirage. The real blue beam that we're trying to make is these all these physical crafts that we're just utilizing free energy technology, the exact technology you were talking about, maybe Nazi occult technology that's been stolen. You have like reports in India, there is a vehicle called a Vimana in ancient Vedic texts and history. And I saw a picture of this craft on Google, and it was like a long, almost looked like a torpedo. And on the inside design of it, there was a center coil, and it looked just like a rodent coil, almost exactly like it was a toroidal coil in the center of it that looked like the motor powering the vehicle. And it was absolutely insane. It was like right after I found out about the rodent coil too. Also quite the synchronicity, but yeah, it goes to confirm your theory.
I mean, just to throw in another one too, you go into that like Aztec drawing of like the guy that's sitting in like that ship looking thing, and it looks like there's like a rod up underneath him that he could essentially be hovering on top of too. So I mean, just another spot that it potentially is. And going back into what you're saying about the UFOs too, and trying to make everybody just like afraid of these things, I don't know if you've noticed it, but I've noticed a lot of commercials that are all basically about like UFOs attacking. Like Samsung has one about like looking up or something like that, because everybody's looking down at their phones. And I saw another one that was for some like website that was saying it doesn't exist until it's on the web or something like that, and it was trying to get everybody to look up at UFOs. So it's kind of funny that they really are portraying that message and controlling that narrative a little bit of everywhere at this point. And again, it makes you kind of wonder if it's because, one, they're trying to make them look like the enemy when they actually have technology that could potentially help the Earth, and considering that these things usually want to try to stop people that are using, you know, like the A-bomb, for example. I don't see why that would be a negative effect. Or again, on the other side, some people theorize that the reason why they're against those types of things is because they also live on this planet themselves too. But I mean, what not a better way to try to scare people away from that kind of stuff than just to make them seem completely like the enemy? And when you start kind of diving into people's experiences, they're a little bit two-sided as far as like contactees, that either one, people will describe these, you know, essentially they'll be like healing them, or on the other side of it, they'll be doing some type of like eugenics type thing where they take like DNA from them, which, you know, doesn't seem like a positive thing from like our perspective. But if you look at it from like the perspective of like what we do to some animals, trying to keep certain genetics alive, trying to keep certain types of animals alive, it may not necessarily be a bad thing. But of course, to the one that's getting trapped that they're taking the DNA from, it's a horrifying experience. And then that kind of gets into the other part I was going to mention, that if you don't understand what's happening to you and you're getting poked and prodded, even if somebody's doing something positive, you know, if it's a horrifying experience to you, it's going to be horrifying and you're going to take it the wrong way completely. And I mean, we can create theories about it all day, but it seems like there's something to that as far as one trying to keep genetics and also try to give us technology and keep us away from certain technology. So it's all different people's viewpoints. I mean, are they doing something positive? Are they doing something negative? Who knows? But from all the pieces put together, more often than not, I kind of sway towards they're actually doing something positive, and that's the reason why the government wants to make them seem like the enemy so frequently.
Oh, certainly. We can get deeper into the weeds on this. I think that if you look into my mind and say, what is my personal theory that I think is happening right now? I would say the government has specific genetic mutated beings that they have developed and that they have hidden. Yeah, there's a lot of genetic testing that's been kept hush-hush for a long time. I mean, I think that there was a lot of genetic testing in our ancient past that has been also kept hush-hush. But you probably have these gray-type beings that have been created as some sort of genetic mutation and kind of like a perversion of man almost that science has tried to create and almost like a homunculus at some point. And you place it inside of this craft or whatever, or you send them off and they do this weird thing and prod people and make people absolutely terrified that these beings are of the sky and of other planets and they're trying to harm us. And the genetic collection is very interesting because there are a lot of things that you can do with genetic material. And especially if you were to target specific people, if you have advanced information on like what specific blood types you need, you just go find the right person in the middle of the night with the right blood type and you get what you need. So,
I mean, just to kind of dive back into something too. So I was kind of theorizing about it for a while from the aspect of me diving into like hollow earth type concepts. But I recently had on Leslie and Stephen Shaw, and they were talking about this whole idea about possibly like the origin of extraterrestrials. And when you go into like all the great cataclysms that happen and what people may have done to survive, there could have been people that went underground, like they were stating. There could have been, which was kind of like what I was diving into. They were saying there was people that went under the ice sheets, but they would have adapted differently and they would have had that advanced technology where the rest of us would have just been out here to just basically restart and figure stuff back out for ourselves. So if you have the ones that went under the ice sheet where they had constant light, you'd end up having stuff like the Nordics, which is kind of like what they were explaining. And then diving into the stuff that I was kind of digging into, if things go underground, they're going to develop like less pigmentation in the skin, so they're going to look more like how a gray would. Their eyes are going to get bigger so that they can take in more light and they can actually see things underground. So when you start looking at it from like that perspective, I mean, these things coming from underground being ancient people that possibly need some of our genetics still in order to maintain themselves, because they could have been theoretically somewhat inbreeding for years because they may have been small sects of people and now they've gotten to the point where it's pretty much just like extended family on both sides. You're going to have to come back out and retrieve some more genetic material in order to keep your species alive, and possibly even in the process of it, trying to help out the other things that are living on the planet. Because of course, again, if you're underground, you got something that's in the underneath the ice sheets, like you don't want the rest of the primal, I guess you could say, people that have been around on the planet that had to restart multiple times, blowing everything up in the process of that. And just again, looking at all of that different perspective of stuff, the idea about using the Earth's magnetic fields in order to actually make these ships fly, like it almost just seems more logical at this point that a lot of these extraterrestrials are actually coming from the Earth itself, and they've just developed in order to live in specific environments versus kind of like how people have developed to live in specific environments too. Because I mean, even between like the human race, just think about the variety there are within people, that you have people that live up in the cold areas. We typically have like white skin, beards, and it's intended so that we can take in as much sunlight as we can, and the beards and the way our hair sits is intended to keep in warmth. And then when you get into like Africa, you get into like the Middle East, people have like a darker complexion so that they won't get sunburned so easy because their skin isn't taking in as much light from the sun. And then they also have the different hairstyle where their beards and stuff aren't so thick. Their hair kind of has like the spiral to it and stuff to label to let heat out. So I mean, like, even within people, we've all adapted to be in different regions and fit into those specific regions comfortably. So if you take an extreme region, like again, underneath the ice sheets or underneath the ground itself, who's to say that we're all not all, again, part of the same species, but we've all just adapted differently. And specifically the Nordics, I mean, you put them next to a person and realistically, you're not really too able to tell the difference other than the fact that one is very lightly complected. And one thing that I pointed out was when I had them on the show, they were talking about this one experience somebody had where they had contact with an extraterrestrial and they ended up leaving like a strain of hair. And when they analyzed the hair, it was actually a clear piece of hair, even though it looked white. And when I started connecting that with other things, I pointed out the fact that like polar bears, for example, are something that lives in the snow. They live in like Arctic conditions and they don't actually have white hair. They have translucent hair and it actually reflects partly off the snow and partially off their skin themselves. But it seems to be that certain genetic developments happen in certain areas. So assumably, if you had a person that had translucent hair, it would come from probably somewhat of the same type of a region or type of environment as like a polar bear would, because that's the only other thing I can think of on the planet at the moment, at least, that has that clear hair aspect in order to fit in with its environment. And I think also just having the hollow hair itself too is supposed to also help maintain heat because it's the same way as like, you know, the water bottles that are dual layered work, that something is able to retain temperature better when it's hollow on the inside versus being a solid mass all the way around. Because once it gets cold all the way through versus just the outside and then the inside still being able to maintain its temperature.
Yeah, you're basically creating a pocket of hot energy that it's, you've got the translucent hair and then you've got, it's basically like a little, like a million tiny greenhouses on top of the bear skin. It's, or like the polar bear, or whatever the being was. It takes in the energy and it condenses it in that little air pocket's able to create the heat that's able to, it's basically like a solar panel for the skin. So yeah, that totally makes sense about the genetic diversity over a lot of time. And you've got inbreeding does not good things to people. And if you don't have a lot of potential mates, you can, I mean, you see how cultures go bad if in just look, I mean, look in Alabama, but yeah, so that I love that theory, actually. I'm probably gonna be thinking about that for the next few days.
Hey man, gotta give you some food for thought, man. That's part of the fun of the show. You made me start thinking some stuff. I gotta start throwing theories at you, throw them at the wall, kind of see what your ideas are on them.
Oh no, I love it. Yeah, it's for real. One thing that to give us a little back on the amazing track, the rabbit trail we went off on, is that when you were talking about the multiple layers of the skin, it reminded me a lot of the multiple layers of orgone or the orgonite. So when you had Reich's original technology, he never had any resin with his pieces. What he had was he had something called an orgone accumulator. So he placed metals of steel wool and then, or which he had these inorganic layers and then a layer of organic. So it would be like normal wool or just different fiberglass or something like that. And it would be multiple layers and the metal would be refracting large amounts of energy and the wool or the organic material would be constantly pulling these energies in. So when you have different layers, it almost creates an energetic friction, you could say. And when you seal all of this in a high intensity, high heat mold seal for this organite, it takes all of that high amount of energy that's happening all at once and then it seals it and it keeps it going. So
we will be right back after this brief commercial break, so stay tuned.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
And we are back, so let's hop right in. Hey, man, just to bring it back full circle, too, to all the stuff that you're just talking about, and also kind of like a biblical perspective on things, too. You know, you kind of get into like a lot of like the whole newer narrative that people are talking about as far as like the Nephilim, fallen angels, and how they bestowed all of this different technology onto people, things like that. One of them was being able to work like earth metals, essentially, which I don't necessarily see as like a necessarily like a negative thing. So it kind of makes you wonder if like the Nephilim theory kind of has like some bounce back and forth in it that, you know, maybe a lot of it was from like a human perspective and maybe not all of them had the same malicious intentions. Because when you get into a lot of like the New Agey stuff and you talk to a lot of like Christians and stuff about it, they usually kind of relate a lot of like the New Agey stuff to some of the teachings from like the fallen angels. But if you have something like this that's actually positive and benefits people as a whole and not in the aspect of like teaching people how to make like swords in order to like kill each other, essentially, but something that actually is able to intentionally heal somebody, it kind of makes you wonder which side of the narrative could go that, you know, maybe we mask them all as all of the fallen angels were bad, but that may not have been the case at all. Maybe some of them actually were trying to make amends of, you know, the revolt and essentially come down and try to teach humans like beneficial things that'll actually benefit them and help them. And again, going into the fallen angels narrative too, fallen angels, stuff coming from the sky potentially, you know, depending on perspective, could be the same thing as all the extraterrestrial stuff that we've kind of been talking about too. So
yeah, no, for sure. That all, it all makes sense. And if you look at it from a, if we tie in the biblical and the scientific and the extraterrestrials, also tie in a little bit of like astrological knowledge and energetic shifts in our world and the way that we live. We came out of a certain age. We came out of the golden age where they say that we had much more connection with the spiritual realms. We had much more connection with these angels and these fallen angels, or these the sons of God that walked the earth, that the Genesis says, and the Nephilim that existed. And you have all of these higher level beings that were on this plane as well. It essentially sounded kind of like a Middle Earth in a sense. And it seems like there were definitely these, you can call it this tier of being that was here to give us enlightenment and to teach us and to help us live in a loving collective environment where we lift each other up. I think there definitely was an age on this planet where people say you have like the city of Atlantis. I think that it's really like you have the era of Atlantis. And let's say there was like a main city or era or a place where Atlantis presided, but then you had essentially little ambassadors that were in every single state or every connected area, and you had cultural places. Imagine like Atlantis Chinatown that was in a different part of the world, or let's say in the Grand Canyon or somewhere else, and anywhere it is, you have different connected cultures all around in our past. And it makes you think there definitely was a different level of understanding. And so where did it go wrong? What happened to it? And so you can give the theory of that you had all of these angels were fallen bad angels who were trying to teach us to be like God. And so all of this information and knowledge was not stuff that we should be learning, which a lot of that, I mean, if you have really powerful technology in the hands of immoral people, they will use it for negative means and ends. That always is what happens. You could take this Organite pyramid right here and you could have it sitting on your, on next to your bedside for the rest of your life, and it does a whole lifelong worth energy cleansing for you. Or you can take this pyramid and bash somebody in the head with it and kill them. You can do anything with something, and you can use something for positive means or for negative means. And a lot of what the ancient, we call fallen angels or whatever, or extraterrestrials, whatever we think they were, how do we not know that we were imparting our own immoral standpoints and our actions into the technology they were giving us, or vice versa? I mean, it could be anything, really. We don't know, but it's just a thought.
I mean, on that side too, like I was saying, I could have seen it as some of the fallen angels were giving people negative things in order to be able to kill each other, where the other side, again, maybe there were ones that just kind of got caught up in the rebellion, then after everything came to be, then they kind of regretted their actions and they wanted to try to make up for their actions. So because the floodgates were already open, they saw it as, let's at least give them a way to protect themselves, because there's this side that's going to be teaching these humans how to create weapons and kill each other. There's this side that's going to show them how to do this. So let's be the ones that show them how to take plant medicine in order to heal themselves if they get attacked by these things, or if there's certain attachments that are going to attach themselves to people, like demonic presences, so to speak. They're going to, you know, basically just infuse a bunch of negative emotions and energy into somebody. Let's show them how to use this in order to try to create positive energy around them to possibly get rid of that attraction. So it's like, I kind of see it that way sometimes, that hopefully, you know, I try to see the better side in things, and it seems like there may have been the possibility that some of the fallen angels, again, after everything came to be, that they were almost, again, trying to make up for their actions, thinking that maybe they'd be able to get their way back up to heaven, so to speak. Or if you're looking at it from possibly being an alien race, maybe being able to re-enter the civilization where the alien race exists at.
Oh, definitely. And one thing about humans, we'll go back to us being water. I mean, what happens to a bathtub when you throw a toaster in it? The whole entire thing gets electrified. And so that means water is just a giant superconductive antenna, which means our whole bodies are antennas of energy. And what we program our minds, our bodies to resonate at, if we choose to accept the energies of positivity and love and forgiveness and all of this positive stuff into our life, we're going to amplify and we're going to receive that in our antenna of our whole body. But if we choose to let ourselves imbue all this negativity, and if we harbor judgment and shame and guilt and all of these emotions that will tear us down, you will just literally become a demonic energy magnet. I'm not even sure. I don't know what presents itself first, the demonic energy inside of your body because you feel these energies, or the demons that attach to you. I mean, maybe it's one and the same thing, that this just energy, this dark energy of life and the positive energy of life is just something that's always existent around us at all times, but it depends what we put our frequency to, what we put our energy level at, and that's what we will receive.
It's like the chicken and the egg. What came first? Nobody knows. It's just this vicious cycle. And considering that, you know, you make pyramids yourself, I assume that you've probably done a lot of digging as far as like the ancient pyramids go. And that's definitely a topic that I absolutely love to dive into, because I have a handful of theories to go into that. But I'd love to hear some of your theories as far as like, you know, what you potentially think that the pyramids could have been used for around the world.
So I have a theory that the pyramids, as they were built, were ancient megaliths served a lot of different purposes and intentions based off of the geometries of the way they were built and the different services they would have. Let's say inside of Egypt itself, the Great Pyramid of Giza was a resonance chamber that, if you look, this is going to go really, let's do it. Okay, so.
We can go deep. Let's go for it.
Robert Edward Grant is a man who has made a lot of discoveries with the Pyramid of Giza and the pyramid structures in the last few years. One thing he discovered is that if you look at Leonardo da Vinci's picture of the Vitruvian man, and if you superimpose the photos, or if you superimpose the Giza pyramid inside of it as well, the chambers inside of the pyramid match exactly where the horizontal lines inside of the Vitruvian man lie. And if you also look at those lines in the Vitruvian man, those lines are exactly where the chakra centers of the body lie. So this Giza pyramid is a macrocosmic representation of our energy bodies.
And I'm glad you brought this up, because when people were asked about what the pyramids were, they said they represent us. I just had to drop that part in there. I didn't mean to cut on your train of thought.
I didn't know that. That's really cool. But they literally represent our energy bodies. You have different pyramid angles. So this is a scale model representation of the Giza pyramid itself. It's got 8 sides. The Giza pyramid doesn't have 4 sides. Technically, there's 9 because of the base. But every 2 of these sides, I'll find it for you. You see that right there? It's concave slightly on the inside of it. So there's 2 sides right here that are coming into the center. So there are 8 sides around this whole entire thing, and it creates a very positive energy bubble. Energy doesn't like to flow in squares very easily. The boxes are not good for energy. We live in houses probably intentionally because of the really shitty energy that boxes give off of. But
got to keep everybody low vibration.
Exactly. So if you have this, the intricate geometries of the Giza pyramid, it's also based off of the mathematics of pi. And it's also, you have the 2 other pyramids that we know of. There's probably more pyramids that are either hidden or they've been taken down. But you have the 3 Giza pyramids right there. They are the constellation Orion superimposed. When you like the angles and the geometries of the Giza pyramids or the constellation Orion. So, but you also have different pyramids and structures all around the world that are incorporating the same technology and different angles. So that I showed you the Giza pyramid, that pyramid is going to resonate at the heart chakra center. And then you have this pyramid right here, the Russian pyramid. This is a very high sloping pyramid. So imagine this is resonant to the heart chakra. It's a much lower slope. It's like a, I want to say it's a 54 degree angle. And then this is a 76 degree angle. So this the slower slope resonates at the heart. This larger slope resonates at the pineal gland. So imagine it basically where the tip of the pyramid will be placed on your body is where it'll resonate most for your for the energy. So every different vibration is going to have a different energy signature compared to something else. It's all going to be beneficial for everything, but you can really fine tune stuff a lot, especially with the different crystals that you put in. You can have me put any different type of stone. If you want your birthstone added to a pyramid or to a pendant, I have these flower of life pendants that I call transmuters. It's got the flower of life right on the top here. You can put it on your phone. You can put it on a Wi-Fi router. It really helps transmute the energies of the EMFs and the 5Gs. But also it's just great for everything. But this specific pyramid geometries, you can go super deep into the different types of pyramids and the reasons for them. There's a reason why the master architects and Masons and Freemasons place specific pyramids at places all around the world. They're all lying on specific ley lines and energetic vortexes that have always had things built on them. There's been, or not always maybe, but like for as long as our ancient civilized culture that was really advanced that we are now becoming aware of has existed, we've been aware of these earth geometrical properties, which are very similar to, like, imagine the ley lines of the earth or the chakras of the human body. And so you have specific pyramids built on certain places of the energy body of the earth to amplify those energies. Just like I would build a specific pyramid for the heart chakra. I've got the pyramid of the heart chakra is one of my most popular pyramids. And you can create different geometrical properties and vibrations to resonate at specific frequencies. That'll be different for the energetic properties of everything. So,
just out of curiosity, have you dived into like obelisks at all? Because assumably you said that one was the Russian pyramid that's supposed to be able to hit the pineal gland. And when you talk about the Egyptian pyramids, they hit the heart chakra. Is like their variation of being able to hit the pineal gland basically like making like the obelisks? Is that their variation of that?
I never thought about that, but that's a really interesting perspective because you've got the point. You basically, what they're trying to do in the obelisks with Egypt is embody a tall structure that comes to a point at the tip. And when you harness the energies of that, when you always have a conical type pyramidal structure starting at the base, the energies always will, you start out at the base and the energies spiral upwards. And the tip of a pyramid is, or any specific cone or pyramidal structure that's made that way is going to have 80% of the energy at the tip. And then that tip energy is going to be very powerful. And so if you create the obelisks out of that, or the Egyptian or the Russian pyramids, it's going to incorporate the same type of energy mathematics and science.
See, because, you know, people usually see it as like almost like phallic-like, and especially because, you know, they put them outside of like royalty. So people kind of potentially saw it as like a way of stating like their masculinity, so to speak, or like their ruling power through their like masculine energy. But maybe that wasn't about what it was about at all. Maybe that was something that, you know, we kind of put together later on trying to figure out, but rather it was trying to show maybe that they were like the spiritual teacher to follow, because it was pointing at the pineal gland, if you actually had an understanding of what the pyramid shapes were intended to be back in the day versus like us maybe just starting to stumble on what the true meaning might be nowadays.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you've got there's symbolism. There's multiple levels of symbolism in anything that you've got the Freemason, Rosicrucians, whatever these higher level people are that are doing. There's millions, or there's six levels to understanding this thing. Like, you have the level of the masculinity. There's a lot of phallic connections and a lot of masculine and feminine symbolism and architecture in the ancients and in the way that they do things, because they understood the masculine and feminine energies of the earth, of our bodies, were very important to represent every single person. Every single human has both masculine and feminine energies running through them. The left side of your body is the feminine energies running down, and the masculine side is the right side is running upwards. And it's kind of the yin yang system. It's how your body from an electrical standpoint works. The masculine and feminine levels, that also represents the electrical, like the positive negative charges. So you have the connections to electricity. So you also have which is electricity and magnetism at the same time. You've got the positive, you've got the north, and you've got the positive, and then you've got the negative, you've got the south. And these positive and negative energies are both metaphorically present in our bodies, but also present in all of the geomagnetics of the earth and in everything that we do. And so like all of the pyramids in ancient structures were all aligned perfectly to true north, which is like an ancient civilization. How are you going to know how to align something to perfectly true north? But when you do that, it connects the pyramid to the geomagnetic grid of the whole entire earth. So I tell people, if you buy a pyramid, center it to true north. It'll connect it to the rest of the pyramid grid and also electrically harmonize it.
Hey, just another weird theory to throw in here, something that I've kind of theorized about before too. It seems like the pyramids are usually found in somewhat remote locations, such as, you know, there's like the Alaskan pyramids, the Antarctic pyramids. Usually they're pyramids in the middle of the desert. You have the whole idea that in Egypt, that at one point it was lush and full of green and full of life and everything too. So I've often kind of wondered if these things could potentially be some form of like terraforming. And if you're using that energy input-output concept like that you were kind of describing, even kind of diving into what you're saying as far as like the pyramids using those for like plants and everything and plant growth, it makes you wonder if that could potentially be what it was that it harnessed the positive energy into the area and made it so that life was able to grow and things were able to flourish. And maybe it was multi-purposed as far as like what the pyramid's purpose was. And that's why it's so hard for us to theorize what they could be for, is because they could have had 10 different purposes. And one of those purposes could have been terraforming the area to make it so it was inhabitable. And then on the other side of it, it was also intended to heal people when they actually entered the pyramid, because it was this perfect harmony of energy that was terraforming an area. And when you go into it, it also re-terraforms essentially your body and rebalances everything back out and re-equalizes it back out. And also in the process of that, it's creating electricity. So then you also have electrical power that you're able to use for other things, which again could potentially be why there is never like the burn marks or anything like that in the pyramids. And I know that they're kind of like theorizing about it now, that they found these bowls everywhere, and they were basically saying they took some type of like oil and sand and essentially made it so that it didn't create any type of soot or output or anything. And they're saying, oh, these bowls are actually what they use for light. But I feel like there's definitely a possibility that stuff could be a little bit more in depth with that, especially with like that whole picture of the light bulb looking thing with the snake in the middle. And I know some people, again, have also theorized that could have been like the origin story as far as like the Egyptians go. But I mean, again, multi-perspectives of the same thing. It could be obvious right in front of us like that, and we're just trying to look for a deeper meaning, saying it's an origin story, it's this, it's that, when they're actually trying to represent electricity and light bulbs.
You just hit the nail on the head right there. Those were probably the three main purposes of the Giza pyramid. And you talked about the electricity that's generated from it. You have the giant amounts of piezoelectric quartz that are on it. There's also mercury that is spinning underneath the Giza pyramid itself, which if anybody knows anything about ancient or advanced science, mercury is electrified when it is spinning. So you have an electrified mercury at the base of the Giza pyramid and a lot of other pyramids as well. And that creates a battery that literally has this ethereal scalar level energy that is existing that can probably can connect to the body itself. But if you harness it the right way, you can create light from that. There's this dude named Tom Palladino who has a scalar, he uses radionics machines and a bunch of really cool technologies. And he says that one of his main things, it's a $1 trillion industry because you can generate you can generate light from the scalar tech. So he says that you can have this one scalar machine at the bottom of, let's say, the bottom of the building, and it can be powering the lights for the whole entire building and maybe multiple buildings around it, because you just get this right frequency. And let's say you have a electricity that's resonating at a specific frequency with this giant amount of however you get it, and you have the receiver receiving the same electricity, the same frequency, and then boom, there's the light bulb right there, or whatever system they use inside of the Giza pyramid itself. I mean, you have a lot of systems that we just don't understand, and there could have, I mean, let's say one thing I was thinking today is like, let's say you have a piece that was built in the early 1900s, and it was a giant building, and it was used and it was occupied for 100 years, and it's now in disrepair. And then 200 years later, it's a remnant, and you go into this 200-300-year-old building. You look around at everything. Do you think that the tools that they used to build that building is going to still be inside of that building when after 100 years later? no, it's not going to be in the pyramid or in the building 100 years afterwards. You've had thousands of people go in and out of that thing who are able to take whatever they wanted to. And in the sense of the Giza pyramid, I mean, you had thousands and thousands of years of really powerful people who came in and ransacked and looted everything that was of significance that they could get their hands on. I mean, they tore the entire limestone structure off the top of the Giza pyramid. And that thing used to be lined. It was a clean slate of limestone to the top. And then there was a gold cap that was an electrical conductor at the very tip of the Giza pyramid. And now it's all gone and people don't understand it. And most people don't even know that that's what it used to look like. And all of this technology, it's been taken away and it's been occulted. It's been hidden. And now we just have to say it's a tomb that they built in the Khafre period or whatever. And there's all of these copper tools where that's what they used to build the pyramid, because of course it is, because that totally makes sense that thousands of years later, the original tools would still be in the pyramid itself.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. And we are back. So let's hop right in.
Hey, Devin, back into what I was saying too about the whole, like, it represents us. When all the original archaeologists were going and actually discovering the pyramids, it was all the archaeologists that came up with the idea that it was a tomb, even though they were finding, obviously, like, the pharaohs and everything, like, buried completely in a different area. And when they actually asked the people who lived in the area what the pyramids were for, they said it represents us. And I know that, I don't know how far they've really dug into it, but they've said that there's multiple pieces of the pyramids that they kind of like used to build the city. And by finding some of those pieces, they've actually kind of connected more pieces as far as different like hieroglyphs and everything being on those pieces. And even digging into the pyramid itself, I've heard, and I don't know how true this is, or so don't quote me on this exactly, but I've heard that they still haven't fully discovered where like the bottom of it is. Like they say that the tunnels and everything keep going lower and lower, and we don't actually know what the bottom is. So like there could be this continuous structure going down where maybe it is the tip of like an obelisk almost, or on the other side of it, maybe it's a duality pyramid where it's a pyramid on top and then it goes a pyramid down low. And maybe it's supposed to be something where it pushes up and it pushes down to represent the positive energy and the negative energy and be able to, again, balance out the environment, balance out the people by having equal points going up as it is going down.
I definitely think that's what's happening. I think pretty sure that if it was just four sides up and four sides down, it would be called an octahedron, but then you'd have 16 sides because there's eight sides up and down. I'm 90% sure that's how it's constructed, and I bet you that you've probably got chambers in the pyramid in each specific section where those lines in the Vitruvian Man would be. Da Vinci had like 30 years of missing time in his life, and there's been a lot of evidence to say he was using his cartography skills in Egypt at the time and discovered a lot of things that were not made public. And so I bet you that you've got that. I bet you have a giant underground system that was built, and you also have a bunch of chambers that have either been hidden or not discovered yet. There's also like an entire underground city in the whole Giza Plateau strip that's next to and connected to the pyramids, which that lends credence to the cataclysm theory and all the stuff we were talking about them having the advanced ancient knowledge and then all the stuff that happened and came in. Everyone had to basically just say, oh shit, we've got all this knowledge, but we're going to get wiped out. So we got to do the best we can to survive. And I mean, we've not done the best job preserving that knowledge, but we've survived a bit.
Hey man, there's a lot of people that theorize that the Hall of Records might be under the Sphinx. And there's that whole weird thing that the Egyptian government won't let anybody go underneath that, channel that goes underneath the Sphinx's foot. And I mean, there might be something to it because Egypt obviously will let anybody go anywhere for years and years, man. They were literally letting people take mummies and grind them up and create like beauty products out of these things. So clearly they had no issues with people just completely just ripping apart everything as far as like their society goes. But why is it now that they're so weird about people journeying underneath the Sphinx and seeing what's there? Even that passage that's underneath, there's that whole video about the guy who's like, oh yeah, you know, there's nothing to it, it stops right here. But as he's shown the video where he says it stops right here, it looks like there's another channel that goes straight out completely. So even within that video, it looks like he's trying to block something off. And maybe they've been completely destroyed purposefully, where they know what knowledge is inside of that. So rather than anybody having access to it, they just completely collapse the tunnels in order to access this type of stuff because they don't want anybody to stumble upon it or accidentally find it, which again makes no sense, but maybe it's one of those things that they're trying to control, just like the narrative of the world itself. Because if you all of a sudden stumbled upon a hall of records that had the answers for every question that's ever happened since the beginning of time, you know, how many people's paradigms are that going to change? Are people going to follow their religion anymore? Or are they ultra going to follow their religion because they realize that everything completely lines up once they have those hall of records? Like, you don't know exactly which way it could fall. So I guess rather than having the possibility of everybody going crazy, you just block it off altogether and just kind of let stuff exist. It's kind of like that whole concept of, like, you're better off not knowing, so to speak, when nobody knows, because if somebody knows, then it just opens the door for the whole perspective of society can completely change and have every single history book be rewritten at that point.
Oh, totally. I mean, basically what would happen is people would stumble into that hall of records. Here's why they don't want you to have it. Stumble into that hall of records. Let's say theoretically you read through all of the records and, like, holy shit, so much information, and we've been wrong about everything. And that's why they don't want you to know, because they have so many lies that they've constructed that they are fighting to the death to try and keep you believing. And they're really losing heart. A lot of people are turning to the light, and a lot of people, well, to light, I mean, a lot of people are waking up and realizing that they've been lied to, or that the government is corrupt, or that there's something or wrong, or this or that, whatever ends up catching you, whatever you end up finally realizing. There's an infinite level of opening up your eyes and realizing that there's even bigger pieces to the puzzle. Like, let's say you put this puzzle together and you realize, oh, this whole puzzle is just a piece to an even bigger puzzle. And that never really stops in this journey of learning things. And if you have something like that, that's a giant collected knowledge base of everything that our ancients have tried to learn and know and understand, I mean, that absolutely ruins all of their plans, because they've been trying their best to suppress all of the truth and the stuff that could liberate us of their slavery they've put us in. I mean, they've enslaved our minds, they've enslaved our wallets, they've enslaved our thought, our futures. I mean, they keep us in a job, they give us a shitload of credit card debt and a shitload of college debt, and keep us locked in this reality, renting things and whatever it is. And when you start learning different ways to free your mind from just the pain and horror and the torture and the just the trauma. I mean, all that trauma that you free yourself of, that they tell you that you can't do. They shove prescriptions in your mouth and tell you that there's actually no real reason why you're suffering from these things. When you realize there is a reason you're suffering from these things, and you learn the reason in ways to help yourself get away from it, they lose a lot of money. They lose your trust. And then their whole entire, the house of cards just tumbles, because it's all built on lies.
Hey man, they either have it under the foot or they have it in the Vatican, but either way, everybody wanted to raid Area 51 a couple years ago. Fuck trying to do that, because that's a military complex that's just all bad all around. Everybody just has to team up and just raid either, preferably the Sphinx's foot, but if nothing's under there, all the records are completely scrubbed, every single scroll is gone, then I guess everybody has to meet up at the Vatican and storm the Vatican. Get into the Vatican archives.
Now, we'll just start a raiding party. We'll just keep going to, we'll just go to the CIA files after that. We'll just keep finding whoever we can.
Just the mob just keeps getting bigger with each event. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. And we are back. So let's hop right in. And I guess with that, man, probably about time to start kind of wrapping stuff up a little bit. So I always like to kind of leave with some words of wisdom. Not that this has been like a negative show or anything like that, but I always say it's kind of a good way to leave everything up on a high note. So if there's any words of wisdom you might be able to bestow on the listeners, what might it be?
The less you let go of things, the more problems you're going to have in your life. If you take something that happens to you and you shove it deep down, it's going to present itself in millions of ways until you deal with it. And it'll keep presenting itself after you die. It's going to be an eternal thing. Everybody always struggles with their stuff. And until you take that minute or that, when you flip the switch in your brain and say, hey, I'm going to start working through these things that are making me not the best potential to who I could be, that is what's most important in life. That's the whole reason you came down here, is to learn and to grow and to learn to love others and be forgiving. I really think that we live in essentially a video game that was created by God, that he sent us down here, and he's like, or not he, whatever God is, sent us down here. And our job is to learn to love ourselves and forgive ourselves and others. And the more that we learn to let go of things, the more giving we are to others, the more selfless we are in our actions, the more times we intentionally go out of our way to make other people's lives better. We are remaining in that servant attitude, which is something that Christ talked about all the time, something that every spiritual teacher says is to remain in a state of humility. Like, I'm telling people, hey, get this organite piece. That's great. It'll be great for you, great for your environment, great for your water. You can charge your water on it. Do whatever. You can help others. You can, but really, that's not why I'm here. I'm not here to sell you something. I'm here to help you retrain your mind. I'm here to help you grow from things. I've been through a lot in the last few years, and it at the same time that I went through my parents' divorce and having to mediate all of that, I also developed a business and learned a way to help people deal with their traumas. And it was a beautiful thing that blossomed from something negative. And every single person has their own thing in their lives that they can do that with. So I say, go find your own organite, go find your own passion, try and learn to love others as much as you can. And the more you're able to be generous to that random homeless person that you normally wouldn't bat an eye at, it's going to be feel better for yourself and you're going to really grow.
I like those words of wisdom, man, because I'm definitely one of those people that have said that multiple times, that you have to take the negative and turn it into something positive. Because most people, they'll just kind of let themselves fall down in that dark rabbit hole and they won't actually try to flip it around. But more often than not, it takes somebody who's been through something in order to be able to help other people through that type of stuff. So you got to turn every negative experience into something positive, even if it's just simply being able to give somebody advice on that type of stuff. And just again, just kind of give love back to everybody around you, respect everybody around you. And just kind of going back to the very first thing you were saying too, I want to make a comment about it, that a lot of people are scared of alone time because it's you alone with your thoughts. But realistically, I mean, message from an introvert, I can't really, it works for me at least, but I don't know if it'll necessarily work for everybody else out there. But sometimes you have to spend time by yourself and actually be within your own mind and not be scared of your own mind, because that's the only way that you're ever able to process things. And if you're one of those people that's constantly running from that and you're looking for comfort within substances, you're looking for comfort within just being in a group of people all the time, then you're never actually going to deal with your own personal trauma. You have to learn how to be comfortable with yourself in order to be ultra comfortable with others and actually love and appreciate others. You have to seek from within in order to spread back out to everybody. So I can't portray that enough, that all the people that are too scared to sit down with their own thoughts, you need to stop running from them, and you got to sit down, process them, and turn them into something good rather than letting it just eat you alive forever as you're doing this constant chase and running away from it for your entire life, because that's what's going to happen. You're going to run away your entire life and you're never going to get anywhere with it. But if you actually just sit down, turn around and face it, then you'll actually get to the root of it, understand it, and be able to walk comfortably forward instead of running away from something.
And on that note, if you do that work and if you sit down, others will respect you more. Other people will appreciate to be around you more. And also, you'll stop stealing energy from people due to your negativity, and you'll start pouring into others. People will want to be around you. People will come to you for help. You have no idea how good it feels to be the person that's able to provide that helping hand and be that mentor compared to being the person that's always coming to somebody else. And you can't get there until you take that time, like you're just talking about, sitting down with yourself, processing your emotions. It's probably super scary for a lot of people, but it doesn't stop being scary until you confront it.
And exactly.
You realize it, you that whole wave that you've been running from floods you, and it might not feel great while it's happening, but I guarantee you, you'll come off the other side of it being such a more enlightened, in sense of you'll understand things so much more. You'll understand your habits and your traits while you're doing things, and you'll start to be able to have that reset within yourself, which is so important.
Man, everybody's running from the wave, not realizing that just behind the wave is the calm.
Oh, totally. Yeah. All you got to do is let it hit you, and then you're chilling in the pool.
Exactly. Good metaphors. And for anybody that possibly wants to pick up one of your pyramids, they want to come and find you on social media, follow your pages, any of that. Where can people come and find your website, and where can people come and find you on social media, and where can people come and find your store at?
You can find me at Google or whatever at www.oregon-ite.com. I'm on Instagram. That's where you can find most of my pieces. I've got a lot of work on there at oregon.ite. And then if you want to shoot me an email, have any questions about the podcast, if you want your own personal piece, or if you just want to tell me that I kept blabbering too long or whatever, you can shoot me an email at oregonite528@gmail.com. So I'm open. I'd love to help in any way I can. So also, thank you so much, Shane, for having me on your show. It's been a pleasure. You're a really good host. This is a very well put together show. I appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate that, man. It's one of those things, you don't get a lot of compliments all the time and you don't necessarily know how to take them, but they're always greatly, greatly appreciated. So I guess at the simplest, man, I appreciate that. It means a lot. And I appreciate you hitting me up in the first place to do this show, because you actually are one of the guests that actually found me instead of me actually finding you. So I appreciate it. You making the connection, making this happen, because I definitely enjoyed the conversation. And I'm looking forward to having some more interaction in the future and, you know, having you on the show in the future as you dive into some more stuff and we bounce into some more stuff to talk about, man.
Oh, it was a pleasure. One more thing before we go. Let me hook you up with the pyramid. I'll get you an organite pyramid sent your way. And also, would you like a discount code for your fans? I can get an affiliate link hooked up with you if you'd like. Get 10% off to your fans and 10% off to your customers as well.
Absolutely. I was actually
back to you, 10% off from the fans.
Actually, I was about to ask you about that after the show, but absolutely. Because I know when you first sent me the message, you were asking about sponsoring the show in the first place. So to all the listeners out there, everybody's seen my couple guys that sponsor the show. There's going to be another one here. And you guys heard it all happen here.
Yeah, so we'll get that code. It'll probably be in the episode description, whatever we end up figuring that out to be. So yeah, go give Shane some support. And yeah, my pieces are pretty reasonably priced, so you'll get a good deal.
If you guys enjoyed this episode, don't forget to leave a review or rating for the show on iTunes or Spotify. If you guys do 5 stars, of course, I will read them on the show and give you guys a big shout out. But we want to push up the show in the algorithms, make it so that more people are able to see the show. The show can continue to keep expanding so I could bring even better guests on for you guys, possibly even get to a point where I can do this full time and drop multiple episodes a week, more than the 2 that I'm already doing. But the only way I'm going to be able to do that is with your guys' help. So if you guys don't mind promoting the show as much as you can, review, rate, whatever podcatcher you happen to use, or even just sharing the show through word of mouth. Fantastic ways to help the show organically grow, and I wouldn't be able to do it without you guys. So I love all you guys for checking out the show, loving the show, and hopefully you guys are sticking around for the longevity of the show, because we're about to hit the 3rd year mark, and the only way I'd make it to the point is with all of you guys. So again, without you guys listening, I wouldn't be able to do the show in the first place. So again, just a huge thank you to all you guys out there. And if anybody wants to get a hold of me for any reason whatsoever, be it that you want to submit some fan art, have a conversation in general, be a guest on the show, have me as a guest on your show, sponsor the show, report an encounter, whatever. You guys can get a hold of me through email, which is inquiriesofourrealitypodcast@outlook.com, or you can get a hold of me through social media. Instagram and Facebook are the ones that I'm the most active on. Or you guys can go to the link tree, fill this submission form, and that will go directly to my email. And I do respond to every single email that I get. So if you guys shoot me an email, make sure you guys check your spam or junk folders. Make sure nothing gets missed, because I do send out a lot of links for the show. So unfortunately, some stuff goes to the spam folder. So just make sure you keep an eye out for that. But every single thing that I mentioned throughout the show is all available on the link tree, which is available down in the show description. And with that, hope you guys enjoyed the show, and I'll catch you on the next one. Have a good night, everybody.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.